put your hand up if you wish to speak. I just have to handle an email, so just bear with me a second.
Mr. Jolie could send out the agenda via email as well, or what that would be.
Yes, it's been sent out. It's already been sent out.
Well, I don't have it on that one email. And that's what you need to do, Gunilla, is give
it
out.
Gunilla, if you could send it out again, it would be helpful.
You see, we always do it just before, because searching for stuff when you're trying to get on is always difficult because you never know what's going on with your computer. So it needs to go, that last email needs to have every single thing that you need to work with on it. We've just learned from experience.
Yep. I've just sent out a password again that Jolie sent earlier because there's a few people asking for it now.
It's a new rule.
So just bear with me because I need to handle a couple of emails.
Is there a hand-raising mechanism on this thing? Because I've interrupted others.
Yes, there is. And could you only explain how it works, please?
I don't see it.
Yeah, if you go into manage participants.
All right, I don't see that.
That's somewhere below.
I see participants 12. Is that it?
Yeah.
All right, that's what it's referred to.
Okay. You click on that, Andrea, you will get the list of participants, and you'll have
it.
And you've got a little thing saying raise your hand when you want to speak.
Got it. Thank you, madam. I now have it. I shall mute myself if I can figure that
Jolie,
out.
Jolie, in the meantime, would you mind sending out the password on the DCAD list, because there's a few people asking me for it.
I think someone just posted it.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to evaluate this for my paper. Interesting, let's see. Ah, Dipendra's on there.
Yes, I have joined, hello.
Hi, Dipendra. Francesca, Judith, my God, they're all on. Hello, everybody, I'll shut up now and go back to Gunilla.
Thank you, Andrea.
Well, one small
point. I'm just sending out the
Christopher,
the password here,
Christopher Jones is deaf, so you have to bear that in mind. You'll eventually learn, everybody. Hi, Christopher. Now I'll shut up.
Okay.
Hi, this is Greg Chapman. Right. I've joined on the phone line only.
You both talked at the same time.
It was just Greg. He was introducing himself because he's only on the audio, not on the Zoom.
Thank you, Judith.
And
Greg, hi, this is Greg. Thank you, Judith.
And Greg, we just have the agenda up in the window, but you know the agenda anyway, so.
Sounds good. I'll try to join the Zoom shortly.
Okay. I think we might start. Okay, so welcome everyone. It's really good to have you all on the call, and this is the first DCAD meeting for 2020, and we have a lot on our agenda, so we'll get moving. And I want to start by saying thank you very much to Andrea and for all her pioneering work with DCAD, and also for the support that ITU have provided for DCAD over many, many years. And now I will try to continue that good work. But we are, I'm doing it fortunately with the assistance of what we've started off unofficially calling the core group. And this was just a group who got together to have a chat about DCAD. So I'd like to mention them because I can't do this on my own. I need support, and I'm absolutely delighted to have the support from Mohammed Shabi Aiwan, who is also the president of the ISOC Accessibility Special Interest Group. And I'll mention the ISOC Accessibility Special Interest Group in particular because it is with this group that we are now able to support DCAD going forward, and this is through the new DCAD mailing list, discussion list, and there'll be a DCAD website coming on stream soon, and also with a lot of general activity from the accessibility SIG. So even though I'm vice president of it, I would still like to say thank you very much that the SIG is able to help with this. Also, and I don't think Shadi Abu Sara is on the call, but he is part of a core group, as is Judy Akita from Kenya. Most of you would know Judy, and Judith Hellestine, and I'm sure people will also know Judith, who is on the accessibility SIG and has been very active for many years, as has Judy. We have Jerry Ellis. I think that he might not be on the call yet. I don't see his name. And Peter Crosby, secretary, and also Jolie, who is our very important administrator and makes everything happen technically. So thank you to all of you, and we are looking forward to all working together. Now we called it the core group because it was so informal. We might end up with another name like steering group or management team, but we'll work through that, and happy to have any suggestions on that. We do have a pretty tight agenda, but I will mention that the core group met last week to look at any directions going forward that we can then share with the DCAD members. And one of the things we talked about was any arrangements that could be considered for potential future donations. And I'm not sure, I'll just check. I don't think Marcus Kummer is on the call. No, I can't see his name there. But many of you would know Marcus Kummer as the head of the IGF Support Association. And they have been managing the funds from that donated funds from INSERF in the past, and so if we're looking at any future donations, we need to consider how that will be managed, continuing with IGFSA, or possibly looking at the Accessibility SIG, which has a fiscal sponsorship arrangement with the ISOC New York chapter. It gets a little bit complex, but it makes a whole lot of sense. And we have Greg Shayton on the call, who is the treasurer. So he's very important when it comes to organizing any finances. And being in the US, there's those tax deductibility provisions. So that's probably those key things with introductions. Unfortunately, we do have fairly limited time. So rather than everyone introducing themselves, for those who may not have used Zoom before, I can just go through. Is there anyone who is not able to use the participants list down the bottom of your screen? If you go to the cursor, you'll see participants. If you click on that, you will see a list of all the people participating in the call, except for one person who has a number. I think that might be Greg. Is there anyone who has any issues with that? No. Okay, good. Yes, Greg Shayton, Shatan, who is based in New York. And we all wish Greg and Jolie, who's also based in New York, lots of safety and wellness, as I do with everyone in these strange times we're living in. Okay. All right, that's fine. So welcome, everyone. It's very exciting to be starting DCAD for this year. And Andrea's on the call, of course, so she will put me right if there's anything I forget to do, I'm sure. The second part of the agenda is workshop proposals from DCAD. Now, in the past, DCAD members have worked together to put together a particular workshop submission. And we'll continue doing that, but we also encourage DCAD members to as well put in their own workshop proposals, because we want to penetrate the IGF with many accessibility sessions if we can. And that, of course, depends on the evaluation and the selection process. And I should add here that as a MAG member, as in the IGF Multi-Stakeholder Advisory Group, I am not in a position to coordinate a workshop proposal from DCAD, but I encourage a person, a group, to do that coordination on behalf of DCAD. So
Gunilla, yeah. May I quickly interrupt? Why don't you ask for volunteers, since you're on the subject, and see who raises their hand? We might get that situation right now solved.
That's fine. Okay. And I look forward to at least one volunteer, maybe more. So who would be interested in taking that on?
You can have more than one.
So I see Axel Lebrun on the call. Would G3ICT be interested in doing that coordination?
Yeah, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. Gunilla, thank you for organizing the meetings. Wonderful to see the renewed momentum of DCAD. So yes, we have two ideas for meetings for the workshop. One would be to look at the consequences of the lack of accessibility of the web in times of crisis like COVID-19. I think there are a lot of issues related to tools for people who are using remote education, remote workplaces, emergency services. So that's one topic that will be quite, I think, aligned with the current preoccupation of folks around the world. And we could certainly find a great volunteer for that from different parts of the world. And second topic would be more conventional and also possible. That would be the theme of accessibility in smart city services, more focused, also very important, especially now that a lot of folks rely on virtual tools to participate in the life of the city. So those are the two suggestions we may have. From a logistics standpoint, we are more than happy to coordinate recruitment of speakers and help with any kind of facilitation.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Axel. That is great. And it's so good to be able to work with you and have your support. That's really, really important. And those two topics sound excellent. I just want to open it to the floor if anyone else. Yes, Lydia has raised a hand. And Lydia, please go ahead.
Hello. Sorry, my camera is not working very well. So I'm trying to use a microphone, but my camera is on the way. It's one of those things, toilet paper, pasta, milk pasta, and that comes. It seems to be very much now in need of everyone. So this is one of the reasons I don't have a very good what's called webcam inside my laptop. And that comes to what also Axel was talking about the working ways remotely and in educational side as well. We are actually finding ourselves suddenly in a tight spot. And I think this is something that we should be looking at as how people suddenly discover that it is not so simple and not so easy to work in remote ways. And that, in addition to this, we have accessibility issues. We have members coming up and saying, for example, in education setting in universities, the universities will not allow sign language interpreter to be virtually part of the lessons, for example, or a captioner, because they are not member of the staff. So in a similar way, it's a similar issue also coming up in employment. It also, virtual meetings are selected and only set for the members of staff. And if you are not member of staff, you are just supporting person, like sign language interpreter or captioner, then they suddenly finding problems. Additional issue is something what is coming up as well in UK, for example, is that majority of the people who were told to isolate themselves are elderly. And those people are not really digitally very much instantly able to pick up all the different ways of online participation or online, or even going on the online, on the website. And they are even much more isolated. One of the examples is the general practitioners in UK have now gone onto telephone calls only as your appointment. This is causing a lot of issues because many people are not able, with hearing loss, to access those kind of telephone calls. They are not able to deal with relay services, which are, for example, on the apps on the smartphones. The GP services in general in UK, I don't know about other countries, have now done such a thing as SMS, information on your appointments. But those SMS appointments are only one way. You cannot actually send back message and say, I need to cancel it. I need a new appointment. So I think we should be looking at even wider aspect of this. And that fits into what Axel was saying. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lydia. You have made some very important points there, and we are totally living in a new environment, and a lot of these issues for people with disability and people with hearing impairment and deafness get often forgotten about. So we could look at possibly incorporating some of those issues either in what Axel was talking about in regard to one of his suggestions, or we could do we could have that as a separate workshop with a number of people with a user experience of some of those situations you raised, together with some organizations to explain how they have handled it or they haven't handled it. And that's really important to hear. So we have that debate. And so we have now maybe three different submissions or ideas. Is there anyone else who would like to suggest something that is they are passionate about when it comes to accessibility, and they might be interested in putting in a workshop proposal? So I'd be very interested to hear from you.
I have something to say, if that's okay. I would like to work with Lydia on issues regarding persons who are hard of hearing and deaf, with exactly the comments she made, because she is very correct, especially now during the problem of the virus and we're all housebound, getting a text message from the GP, you cannot respond to it. So the situation is broader than that, but it's remote participation as a general heading, and that could be actually one part of it. And Lydia and I work together in the ITU in standardization. She is a member of the Joint Coordination Activity on Accessibility and Human Factors with me, called JCAAHF. So if that's, I think you can have several proposals going as long as an agenda is brought out and a synopsis is sent by a certain time to you, which you can set with your core group. Email the rest of us and we will submit it, and then the group can choose whether to have one or two workshops. DICAD usually has a workshop. I don't know what ITU is going to do, but I think Lydia and I would be happy to do one under DICAD. I don't know. Lydia might want to say something, if that's okay. I'm muting myself now.
Thank you. And just And if a person isn't speaking, it's a really good idea to mute your microphone, because otherwise there could be background noise interference, and it makes it difficult to hear the particular person speaking. So I appreciate that, Andrea. Please go ahead, Lydia.
Hold on. Yeah. Finally, I unmuted myself. Sorry about that. Yes, I'm very happy to work with Andrea and anyone else who wants to work on this. And yes, this is something what I think we should be bringing forward. Thank you.
Okay, that's great. Now, I also wanted to read something from Peter Crosby. He prefers to have this written as a person who is autistic. So if I may, I'll just read this, and then that is very relevant to also inclusion in the time of COVID. So this is from Peter. As someone who's autistic, speaking out loud isn't always the easiest form of communication for me, especially not via phone or whatever. So just to comment on a key subject of today's call in advance, which is the IGF workshop sessions. Like many of us, I imagine, I've been thrashing around ideas. As I've already mentioned in past DCAD conversations, for me, there are fundamental shortcomings with how we're currently understanding accessibility. I feel we need to go back to basics, to the social model of disability and the UN CRPD, and start to reframe disability as part of a continuum of typical human functioning and not apart or separate. That is, to see accessibility as something which concerns all of us. This is particularly the case in regards to cognitive accessibility, which will always fail if we limit ourselves to seeing it as applying to specific populations. What I need as someone with a cognitive disability is what someone lying on a hospital bed with COVID needs. It's what someone who's currently in social isolation and is trying to get information but has poor digital literacy needs. In regards to this, it's clear that we're not reaching developers and designers, nor are we reaching clients, businesses and organizations, whether public or private. These groups still see accessibility as an added feature or optional extra, which we have to find a way to change or at least create a discourse around. So that is Peter Crosby's contribution, and it's really important that we consider people with cognitive disability in any discussion we have about accessibility. So it's a matter of how then we incorporate that type of issue with what Andrea and Lydia have talked about, and Axel, and then we have the smart city proposal as well. And before we try and Peter, it's not too long. It was really important, everything you said. So before we go on to work through those discussion points, is there anyone else who has a passionate topic on accessibility that they feel that they could put together a proposal about? So I see lots of hands here. Fantastic. Shadi, please go ahead.
Hi, Gunilla. Yeah, not a favorite topic, but I just wanted to speak very strong for support of all the above. So I like both Axel's proposals very much. I think they're very timely. But tying that with what Peter was saying, I'm wondering, and maybe this is a question back to Axel actually, whether we're thinking of this of these topics to be mainly framed as accessibility topics. For example, just to stick with COVID, but I think this applies also to smart cities. I can imagine that this year there will be many people bringing in aspects of COVID-19, for example, vulnerable groups and immigrants and other kind of aspects that this crisis has caused. And I'm wondering whether we frame it as part of the larger. And speaking of accessibility being one part of the aspect that people with disabilities are among the vulnerable groups, access to information, all these facets that are but framed as part of a societal issue rather than just an accessibility issue. Or the other way around, I can see benefits for both. this goes back to what you were saying, Gunal, at the very beginning, whether we really want to put in accessibility topics as such or put in topics that include accessibility.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Shadi. And that that's a very important issue that I think in previous emails I was talking about the concept of having a particular technology or a particular issue now, like COVID-19, and framing it in regards to what aspects it has for persons with disability and accessibility. So so that's very important.
Vanilla?
I need
to interrupt you because there is something that is not being done which needs to be done. People who have vision impairments cannot see the chat box. So sometimes what we have is a remote moderator or yourself to read what is in the chat box, because that is what people do to communicate with themselves or congratulate or whatever. So I just noticed that because I think that's important. So you might need to have a helper with that. So if you want to do the, or appoint somebody to read
Andrea, it's Judith. This chat is able to be read by people with vision impairments.
Not the blind kid. Not the blind.
Shabia has been able to read the chapters many times.
That is not the issue, Judith. You do it in case you don't know, and people don't always want to divulge what their disability is. It must be done as a matter of procedure. We don't force people to tell us what their disability is. It just becomes common practice. Thank you.
Andrea, I respectfully disagree. I think that was the case with the previous tool that was not accessible. I think this tool is accessible and people can read the chat like they can read other resources that are being sent to them if they're accessible. So maybe we need to revise that procedure that we used to have for good reason. Maybe that reason does not exist anymore.
I don't know if anybody, Jerry's not on, is he? Because Jerry
Andrea, Mohammed Shabir is on the call, and I would, and he's got his hand up anyway. So please give him the opportunity to speak and explain how he finds the chat and the other aspects of Zoom calls, and also, of course, any other aspects to our discussion generally. So thank you, Shabir. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Gunilla. Thank you very much. And also thank you, Andrea, for raising up the voice for visually impaired or blind persons. While talking about Zoom call, I agree with Shadi with the note that yes, there would be people who have different level of learning and different level of training to use these remote tools, but it is a fact which is everywhere. But as a blind person who cannot see on the screen, I can state here that there is no way that I would not be able to read these chats, whatever is being written. So I've read all the chats, all the messages which have been sent so far since I connected with this call, and I have been able to perfectly read those chats. I'm able to respond to those chats, even to individual members or to everyone else. Since I am connected from my mobile right now, and it takes a bit of a time to respond for me to type in the chat box. So I usually do not respond to chats, but there is no way that I would not be able to read these chats. But again, this could be different. So if someone is here, I will just quickly, Gunilla, with your permission, I'll just take 30 seconds. So I am connected from iPhone, yes. And with the right button, there is this option at the screen, which says or which reads the participants. If you double tap on that, as a visually impaired, you would see the participants list, and at the bottom of that screen, you would find the chat option. And from that, if you double tap on that chat option, the chat is open with in front of you, and your voice over, which is the screen reader for iOS devices, that reads all of the messages along with the names, if they have written the names in front of the chat. So it reads all that information. Having said that, I will now come to the topic which we are discussing here, is the IGF workshop proposals. I do agree that these with what Shadi has said, that there would be a lot of proposals coming on the topic of COVID-19 and the situation that has emerged, and the society, states and societies, how they have responded. So in ideal situation, I would like to be in as many of the as person with disabilities, I would like to see as many people as possible in many different workshops representing accessibility and accessibility issues. So one option is if I am allowed to pick, I would pick merging up the accessibility with overall options or overall proposal in general proposals like education. As a person with visual impairment, one of the main concerning issues that I have faced, or I have seen people with disabilities or visual impairment facing, is the accessibility of online forums which are being used by different educational institutes. So education and digital accessibility is in the time of COVID-19 could be one of another topics that can be discussed. Although we can put in a complete proposal, workshop proposal on that, but I would prefer a topic in a broader workshop topic where people are discussing education in general in the time of COVID-19, and accessibility should be one of the topics so that we can get more audience in that way and our message is spread to more people. Thank you.
Gunella?
Okay. Gunella? Thank you very much.
This is Jolly. Can I just make a comment?
Yes, go ahead, Jolly.
Just following up on Andrea's point. Now, while the chat is readable by somebody visually impaired, a blind person can't see the shared screen. So there should be awareness that if we're sharing screen, that has to be, you know, visually described for people.
Yeah.
Yes, and Jolly, just to responding to your point, yes, you cannot see if someone is presenting slides on the screen. So visually impaired people cannot see those screens, and the voiceover does not read that. And what we do usually is that we ask the people to share the slides before they start presenting their slides on screen. So in that way, person with visual impairment can use. So, but in today's call, this option is, I suppose, not applicable since we are not using presentations or slides.
Yeah, and this is Judith. What I usually do in all the calls, non-DCAD, regular calls, I mention that in the call and ask for a link to the presentation, because often these presentations are available online or in a Google Doc. And what if they're not online for public view, then the presenter often just changes the setting on their own personal Google Doc and makes it online, and then puts that number in the thing in the chat. And so that's what I've been doing on all the calls that I've been on. It just, people just are not aware They're using Zoom new. They're not aware that they can't, people can't see. And it's just a thing of awareness. And they will all, most of the places that I've been on will do that. My other question on the discussions is that I think we should have sessions like Axel's and Lydia's topics, but I think maybe, I don't think, and Peter's of course, I don't think that we should have, I think the DCAD one should be a separate one because we have that one no matter what, but I think we might want to, I think the other two other topics are like set topics in itself. I think Peter's issue, we might want to meld into our DCAD topic, which also could be have that and also other information that we are looking at doing or committees or something else like that. I think we could reserve that, but we could change that if for some reason we don't get the topics we want in the mag, if they don't choose our session, then we can reformulate a DCAD to include it. But I think that they should be separate sessions in itself and gone through the regular process. The DCAD session is just the session we'll get through the dynamic coalitions, and let's reserve it for ones that don't have a certain good topic to have a discussion with. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Judith. And I'm just looking at the hands that are up. So Lydia's hand is up, Mohammed Shabir's hand is up, and Andrea's hand is up. Are they old hands, or do any of you have more comments to make?
Yes, I do. Just to be sure Judith is correct. There are two sessions that we usually get and have always gotten. One is the DICAD meeting, which is what Judith has just referred to. And usually DICAD is granted a workshop, usually only one. So I think Judith is correct in saying whatever workshop that DICAD presents is got to be discussed by the group as to what they want in it and whose speakers could be there. So first thing is a title, and that might take you a little time. Do you know the deadline, Gunilla, of submission, please?
Yes, it's been extended to the 22nd of April, so there's a couple of weeks, but obviously there's a lot of work to be done, and I think really we need to firm up the particular topic and for what will be done as the DCAD submission proposal, and then we have these other suggestions which can then be done by a lead organization and or person, and then move with that. So I think that's where we're at now. I'm just reading the chat as I go along here. So if I hesitate a little bit, that's why. But I think to summarize, we have Axel Labra's suggestion, and he has already put his hand up to be able to coordinate a DCAD proposal. One of them could be on smart cities, and there's a lot of different issues around that. And the other one relates to digital inclusion in the times of COVID-19. And that's broad. And we've also heard how what Lydia and what Andrea and what Peter have said in these terms. And there are so many issues. I mean, we heard about a lot of issues from Lydia, and we've heard about cognitive disability and the issues with social isolation and communication and so forth, and with limited digital literacy, and with Andrea looking at both. Okay.
I wanted to say what Lydia and I are talking about is remote participation. So I think if Lydia agrees, remote participation takes in the COVID-19. It takes in the virus. It takes in persons with disabilities communicating over the distance that they have when they're isolated. So it takes, remote participation has to be accessible. The ITU is updating at the present time our guideline, which will now become a standard for remote participation and be combined with the other guideline, accessible meetings, which will then become an international standard. Now, it's not going to happen in time for your deadline, but that is the topic. So it's accessible remote participation for all or persons with disabilities is the title that I would like to propose. Smart cities is generic to everyone and everything, and that's a separate thing. But to communicate with everyone, especially under this situation, it's remote participation that's going to make or break us if we have a disability. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea. And there's some comments from Judith Hallocene, and we need to also...
I can explain them.
Yeah. Please go ahead, Judith.
Yeah, this is Judith Hallocene for the record. So I am thinking strategically. I'm thinking, and maybe Gunella knows more because she's on the MAG, but I think if we put them all under the DCAD name, we will likely not get them all because they'll feel, oh, DCAD already has one. Let's give other people an opportunity. So I was thinking strategically that we might want to put them in under different organizational names so that we'll have more of a chance to get as many proposals as possible. That is just my thought, which I was trying to write in the chat. But also, I'm thinking, now that I better understand Andrea and Lydia's proposal, maybe we could combine that with Peter's and maybe put that as a DCAD proposal. But I don't know what, maybe Gunella can give me more thoughts on strategically, what is the best chance for us to get as many proposals as possible?
Judith, you're only going to get one proposal under DICAD for a workshop. That is
right.
That we've had. So if we are going to put one under DICAD, we have to decide on what we want to do. Like I say, smart cities is a generic one, and G3ICT could, in fact, put a proposal in as G3ICT for smart cities, which would be great. And we could populate it with some of the ITU people to help him with that. But we are the Dynamic Coalition on Accessibility and Disability. We have a specific job to do. So what is the most important thing in this moment in time is communication at a distance. So I am proposing that whether we decide on the title I just gave, I am proposing officially that this is not the DICAD meeting, which we discuss other things and housekeeping as well. And as you suggested, if we got stuck and we didn't get chosen for the usual workshop that we normally do, we could shove it under the DICAD meeting, but that we talk about what is really necessary for our groups of people, which is to be able to communicate over the internet, because that's all we've got. We've got the phone, but I mean, who can do that? Well, it's too expensive. Of how we do that. And remote participation also allows us to participate in everyday, ordinary kind of work at home or your job or anything like that. It is very timely. So I'm officially asking that we consider doing a workshop around that topic. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Andrea. And Shadi has his hand up.
Yeah. I like Andrea's proposal. I think remote participation is an important aspect. I do believe we may have had this some years ago, Andrea, but you might remember that better. I think the COVID-19 that was proposed by Axel situation is very timely, very important. I think there are many lessons. I do recall some discussions that we had after the tsunami situation in Southeast Asia, and we discussed disaster management and so on, and kind of might be good to re-raise that and see what what progress, what learnings have been in the community, and remind people that this is really important. But an alternative idea, Gunella, is maybe the possibility, it could be a session that is supported and officially from DICAD, but we invite others as well. So it's not exclusively people from DICAD or people from the accessibility community, but widen the topic a little bit and have this mainstreaming of some of these topics without losing the focus on people with disabilities, of course. So this could be another idea in addition to having other proposals be put in or approaching other dynamic coalitions and trying to participate in some of their proposals, maybe.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Charlie. And we have to keep in mind that last year, the DCAD proposal wasn't accepted by the evaluation process, and it was through Andrea's advocacy that it informally became a workshop at IGF. So all I'm saying is we need to not assume that it would be automatically accepted, but that's certainly what we are aiming for. And with the strong focus from the MAG when evaluating a workshop proposal, there has to be diversity. And that means across geographic areas, it means from different stakeholder groups. So if we have a proposal that only has civil society representatives, then we would be marked down on that. And so what Shadi says is really important, that we have invitations to other organizations outside DCAD, and that I think is what we're looking at. And an example that worked really well was a workshop organized by the US App Association. And so that's a commercial body, an industry body. And they had a number of speakers, including Mohammed Shabir. And I was involved with that as well. And there was a person from an app developer saying, oh, well, it's too expensive, etc., to develop an app for accessibility. And everyone leapt on him and very eloquently explained why this was important. And it became an excellent discussion. And that's the sort of thing that people remember and can really gain benefit from. Again, it shows that DCAD is reaching out into the broader community. So certainly, I think now we're looking at, we have remote participation, we have digital inclusion in the COVID-19 environment, and we have smart cities. So I think those three are the main ones, and it's a matter of which one should go under the DCAD umbrella, because all three are really, really important, of course. And like
Gunella,
the one on smart cities. Yes. Yeah. Go ahead.
for the record, this is Mohammad Shabir. Yes, I do agree, but just a small correction that the workshop I participated last year was organized by French Digital Council and not by the US Department. I do agree that we have communication, digital communication, and we have remote participation. I think these two are the topics which are similar to or closer in content or in substance to one another, because communication and remote communication is what we are right now talking about. Smart cities is a topic which is already accepted by Excel. So we can agree, I think, if we can bring in more inclusion in terms of regional participation as well as different stakeholder diversity. So we can talk about digital communication in the times of COVID-19 or remote communication, accessible remote communication in times of COVID-19 by DICAD, and smart cities proposal could be proposed by G3 ICT.
Can I enter in here? I think we can combine the COVID-19 and remote participation together, but making...
Yeah, that's what I am saying.
Sorry?
That's what I am saying.
That's great. I agree with you then. Totally. We can make it. We just have to come up with a snappy title.
Yes.
And
yeah, we can do that.
Well, you have no time. You've got 2 weeks.
And remember, we have Peter's contribution.
You have what?
Peter's contribution.
What was Peter's contribution, Judith?
Cognitive
disability.
Cognitive is...
That also
relates to communication. So I think it can be included.
We need to speak one person at a time.
You need to recognize who should speak. Hand raising.
Yes. Yes. So, fine. So, Andrea, I think you've finished for now. And there are... Axel has his hand up. And then Peter. Axel, go ahead, please.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, I completely agree that we could possibly combine the two topics. In reality, in time of COVID-19, working at a distance or learning at a distance or communicating is the number one issue that people face. And I would say, looking at the issues of special ed teachers right now, they're trying to do schooling remotely. The issue of students with cognitive disabilities is immense. And I think it's true for the adult population as well. So I think I totally agree that aspect needs to be fully integrated in our perspective. We need to be completely multi-disability in our approach and remember that persons with hearing loss or persons with cognitive impairments and persons with visual loss or other type of disabilities are equally important in assessing, you know, what is not done correctly for the current situation. So yes, so my two conclusions is we are happy to combine the two topics we talked about today. And number two, absolutely, we need to be fully aware of multi-disability perspective.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Axel. And I would applaud that approach that Axel works together with Andrea and Lydia to develop a proposal. But before we finalize that, I just need to say we only have another 10 minutes and we just need to tie up this. But Peter's just taken his hand down. Okay. Are you sure, Peter? Yeah,
no,
it's up again.
I just want to say that these proposals all in one way or another cover what I was saying. So it's not as if I see what I was proposing as a specific proposal, but more as an umbrella as a way of understanding different things. And also, I think I was more referring to what we do outside of a DICAD session, because it's not limited to disability. So
okay, thank you, that's great. So all right, we do have some other items on the agenda, but I think we can continue online to work through the proposal. And when I say we, that's not including me. So the best thing would be then if Axel, Andrea, Lydia, and Peter, if you wish to be part of organizing the DCAD workshop proposal for 2020. And then if Axel wanted to put in a separate G3ICT proposal on smart cities, that would be excellent. And any other member who wishes to put in a separate from DCAD proposal would be encouraged to do so, because we do really want to have as many accessibility proposals for this year's IGF as we can. So we are losing people on the call because everyone's got other commitments. But can I say then, as an action item for Peter as secretary, that we go ahead like that? So we all agree?
One small thing. We have 2 weeks to put it through. How do we get approval from the group when Axel, Lydia, and I, and anybody else who wants to jump in and make a contribution, we have to set up some kind of a remote group, and I propose we do it on a Skype call, because then we can do a joint Skype call. So, because Axel's on Skype, I'm on Skype, Lydia is on Skype, but how do we get the voting approval of what it is we come up with? Thank you.
Okay. I will leave the tools between you to use, and we can if you then come up with a proposal and with the speakers, all of that's usually required, and have a draft ready. excuse me, a certain number of days before the deadline. And send that to DCAD, then DCAD members can approve. The other option would be to actually have another DCAD call. I know that's within a very short space of time, but we do have other items on the agenda which we haven't had time for, which I expected. I think I said that in my note. So we have two choices there: for you to put together a draft, say about maybe 4 days before the deadline proposal, if that's not too tight, but you need time to invite your speakers and so forth. And then to send that around to DCAD members to get support, or that we have another DCAD meeting and discuss any other aspects as well. So what are your thoughts on that? Judy Okita, please, we haven't heard from you.
Well, if we're going to be working on the workshop, may I jump in, please? I think we can do that, but I think you need a call for confirmation. I don't think it's expensive to do it. I would like to propose to Axel and Lydia and anyone else that wants to be in the workshop to contact you or the DICAD list or me or whatever. The emails are available. And Axel, are you still online? Because we could work together with you and then have a call to propose what it is we've come up with 4 days before the deadline. What do you think of that, Gunilla? It will be on email as well.
Yep. Okay, that's fine. But I want Judy to have a chance to speak because she's got a hand up and hasn't spoken yet.
Okay, thank you, Gunilla. I was just thinking 4 days to deadline would be a bit too tight.
Okay. The issue, of course, is that there's a short space of time to pull together the proposal, to get speakers,
Judith,
and to write it up.
We have till the 22nd of April. What timeline would you like?
I was just wondering whether at the end of the week you could have a draft one.
Let me look at the calendar. Hold on. Axel, look at your calendar. Lydia, look at your calendar. We could. I could help, but I'd have to make arrangements to work with the people who have agreed. Axel, are you in agreement? Lydia, are you in agreement?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty easy to put together a proposal even before the end of the week. And being on Eastern Standard Time, any day at 7 o'clock in the morning is fine. There is no conflict.
Okay.
I am in agreement as well. Lydia speaking.
Okay. So what date are we talking about here? Could you please specify a date so we're clear on that?
Well, this is my idea. See how you think that I Axel and Lydia and I will arrange to communicate maybe not today, but tomorrow, because we have some time to think, and on Skype, and then we come up with some drafts or something. And when we're agreeing that we want to send it out, we send it out as soon as we can for Friday, but you arrange the call for Monday. Would that work?
That would be perfect for me.
Yeah, look, that's Easter Monday and
is it?
Passover and it's not going to be possible.
I forgot that. I work all the time, so I never pay attention to that sort of thing. Sorry if I've offended anybody. So Tuesday's okay then. Tuesday, all right?
That's fine.
So Tuesday, the Axel?
That's the 14th.
Okay, so that if we're ready to have a call on what we produce this week, then we have a call on the 14th. We send it out on the Friday to everybody. We just send it out to the new DICAD list and to you and to everybody to look at on the Friday. Everybody can look at it over Easter, and then we have a call on Tuesday the 14th. How does that sound to everybody? And to you, Gunilla.
Okay. I just want to check with Judith. How does that work for your schedule? Bearing in mind Passover, different dates to Easter.
I will only look at it on Sunday and Monday, because I'm off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Cool.
So I can look at it on Sunday, Monday, because Monday's a work day for me.
Okay. So. Axel?
Yeah, it's okay on our end. Thank you.
Okay. That's good. So, all right. So we'll set up a call again on the 14th of April. We we try and rotate the course if possible, because there's always someone who's going to have issues with the time of a day or night. So would you like to keep it at this particular time or rotate it to say something like 20 UTC, which British is about 9 p.m. And I can't think of what it would be in the US off the top of my head. So just tell me which you prefer.
I think where it is fine for me, because 9 p.m. I'm a dead person.
Of course, I like the afternoon one, but that's just mine. I just like the afternoon because
okay.
I'm an early morning person.
If you can push by 1 hour, that's easier for people who are.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Great. I agree with that.
Okay. Well, it's 10 p.m. in Australia then. And I'll be less awake, but we'll move it. So
we'll keep you awake.
We'll make it at 12 UTC then, right? 12 UTC.
Yep. 12 p.m. No, wait a minute.
It is UTC.
Oh, UTC. Yes. I hate UTC. Okay. 12 UTC.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. With UTC. So it's 12 UTC on the 14th of April. And then we will receive a draft from Andrea, Axel, and Lydia on Easter Friday or whenever, and everyone will have a chance to look at it, and we'll also, so on that the 14th, we'll go through it, and members can have a chance to make comments, and then you'll finalize the proposal. You've got a week then to finalize the proposal.
One small request. Will you, some of the people left the call, will you copy and paste the captioning and send it to everyone on your mailing list? And with a note saying, if anybody wants to be a speaker, to please answer immediately. And that way we will know if we've got, because three people as speakers, that's Axel, myself, and Lydia, it should be open to people who want to participate. So that will not be established by Friday if we don't send that message out. What do you think of that?
But Andrea, it's Judith, we also need to reserve some spots for people from other stakeholder groups. I think that will assure us of getting a spot. We can't only, even though it's a DCAD one, we should have other stakeholder groups on it.
I agree. I can come in on ITU. Lydia can come in on the National Association of Deaf and People. Axel can come in on G3ICT under our own titles. So that's already accomplished. We need other people who are members of DICAD to use their own flags of identity within that heading of DICAD.
I need to say that we need to do more than civil society. So G3ICT, correct me if I'm wrong, Axel, would be civil society. Lydia's organization would be civil society. ITU obviously is intergovernmental, but we need other stakeholder groups, and so we have to be very clear on that.
Well, there are other people who might want to join that who are members of G3ICT. Like, there is no crime to be part of civil society, because most of the time, persons with disabilities are usually part of groups that belong to civil society. So
no, it doesn't work that way. Andrea, I have to cut you off. I have to cut you off. We have 1 minute left for captioning, and Axel has his hand up. Please go ahead, Axel.
Yeah, quickly to say that we are extremely happy to help organize the session, but we don't necessarily need to speak, or we can certainly, our idea was to find the best qualified persons who have experience in issues in education, in remote work or emergency or health services to speak, actually, because those would be the most, I think, persuasive for the audience. So I'm happy to organize. I'm not saying I will be speaking or we will be speaking.
Okay, I agree. I think that's great. And because of the contacts you have, Axel, as well as Andrea and Lydia, you will be able to find speakers outside the civil society group. So that's really important. So I want to finish off by saying we have a plan. That's great. We'll have another meeting on the 14th of April, and Jolie and I will set up that meeting and we'll have a further discussion then, and we'll also attempt to cover some of the other items on the agenda, because we do need to do that before the 22nd of April as well. So thank you very much. We've had a lively discussion, and I think we're going to have a great year for DCAD. So thank you everyone for today, tonight, or this morning. Bye.
Thank you, Gunilla.
Bye, all.
Bye-bye.